The Lord be with you.
And with your
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the 12, "Fear no one. Nothing is concealed that will not be revealed, nor secret that will not be known. What I say to you in the darkness, speak in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in Gehenna. Are not two sparrows sold for a small coin? Yet not one of them falls to the ground without your Father's knowledge. Even all the hairs of your head are counted. So do not be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. Everyone who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my heavenly Father. But whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our emphasis in this time after Pentecost, the time of the year after Pentecost, is on what we are now doing with what we have been given. We've celebrated great feasts of late, the Feast of Pentecost. We've celebrated the Feast of the Holy Trinity. We've celebrated the Feast of Corpus Christi. Yesterday, we celebrated the Feast of the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. Friday, we celebrated the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And so on our liturgical actions, our liturgical life with Mass as the center of it, we've been directed towards these great feasts. And now, as we enter into this time of the year, what do we do with what we've been given? And so therefore, the church has us contemplate in this cycle for the gospel readings the instructions our Lord gave to the 12 for the mission they were to undertake. And so our Lord, speaking to the 12, indicates to them what they should be doing. Don't be afraid of anyone. And if you are going to be afraid, and this does not go well with the unfortunate interpretations of Christ that too many boomers have, Christ is actually saying, be afraid of God the Father. Be afraid of him. Of course, this doesn't mean a fear that one cowers under the table, but it means a healthy respect for who God is, his perfection, his utter goodness. Modern minds want, again, to pull God down to our level to make him one of us, but he is not. He is far, far beyond our comprehension. Evil cannot coexist with him. He tolerates it in the world because of our own free will. Natural evil occurs not because God intended for tornadoes and earthquakes and all these things to wreak havoc with man, but the world fell when man fell in the original sin. And the moral evil that occurs is because man chooses to do it. And so our Lord is sending the 12 out knowing full well that the world will oppose them. And he tells them, fear no one, but if you are going to be afraid, fear God. Fear offending God. Is that not what ultimately brings us to true repentance? If you have a sense that God is your spiritual buddy, then chances are you're never going to repent of your sins because you think your spiritual buddy's just going to put up with whatever you do. But if you know he's God and he's perfect and there's no room for evil and that he is all good, all holy, and his revelation tells us nothing impure will enter into his presence and everything must be washed clean by the blood of the Lamb, that's what calls us to repentance. One of the interesting things about the fires of hell is that if we contemplate them while we're still alive, chances are they will work to purify us of sin, because we will do everything in our power to avoid the awful reality of hell. And Jesus, again, spoke more of hell than any other figure in sacred scripture, and he is God, and he cannot deceive nor be deceived. There is a hell, and people are going. Only those, of course, who do not repent from sin, who stay obstinate in their sin. And so in this dynamic, then, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in Gehenna. Remember what Gehenna was. It was a valley on the other side of Zion, and it was where all the garbage was thrown, and it was constantly on fire because they were endeavoring to burn all the refuse they were throwing out, which would be a different quality of the refuse than we have today. It was always on fire, and it was a frightful, horrible place, and that's what our Lord indicated hell is like. And so therefore, people would avoid sin because they didn't want to end up there. So he's telling the apostles, you're going to receive profound opposition from the world, great powers, great men, as we would see. It is the Emperor Nero who orders the death of Saints Peter and Paul. And the Romans, in their cruelty, give Peter what he wishes, crucifixion upside down, as he does not feel that he should die the same way as our Lord. He doesn't deserve to do so. He had a healthy respect for God and for the Christ. Well, this is for the apostles. This is for us as priests who are called to preach the truth in season and out. As I've told you before, too many priests are afraid of you because you have a tendency, not you here in particular, but you as the laity, you have all the money. And therefore, when you don't like something, you'll stop putting money in the collection basket. And too many priests are afraid of that. Too many priests are afraid of offending you because, as a laity, you've been known, I've experienced it personally, to cut off the funds if Father speaks too much against contraception and divorce and remarriage. When Father warns the flock not to sin, the flock doesn't like it because some of the flock likes to sin. And they've got this vision. My Jesus puts up with whatever I want because my Jesus loves me. My Jesus needs me. So he'll let me do whatever I want. Love is never a needful thing. And of course, that is between those priests, bishops, and God, because God judges us much more harshly than he judges laity. And again, as I told you before, and I tell you again, I'm not going to hell for you, which is why I will not soft pedal it and conceal the truth to make you like me. I know what it is to be hated as a priest, and I've become quite accustomed to it. So it really doesn't bother me anymore, because all the hairs of my head are counted by God, and he expects me to preach the truth again in season and out. Well, how does it translate for you as laity then? Well, consider these frightful words when you take stock, say, of this past week. Think to yourself what this past week was like, what you did on a daily basis from last Sunday to this Sunday. Think of what you did, where you spent your time, what words you spoke, to whom you spoke, and what you talked about, and then hear these fraudful words of Christ. Everyone who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Heavenly Father. But whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my Heavenly Father. I will deny before my Heavenly Father. During this past week, how often did you utter the holy name of Jesus? How often did you speak of Christ to others? Because to not speak of him is a form of denial. To not draw others to him is a form of denial. Did you draw others to yourself? Did you want people to like you, to accept you, to interact with you? Our Lord says, we're not fit to be his disciples if we are not willing to pick up our cross daily and follow him. What is the cross but self-denial, self-sacrifice? So, in theory, every lay Catholic should be out in his corner of the world drawing all men to Christ, not to himself. One of the obviously the greatest sin we all face is pride. It's the root of the seven deadly sins. But one manifestation of pride that we must be very careful of is human respect. Too often we're concerned about what other people think about us. We want human respect. We want others to respect us. We want others to accept us. We want others to like us. We want others to celebrate us. We want others to be engaged with us. And if we fall into that trap of human respect, guess who we always compromise on? Who is the one that will cause the most disruption in your average person's life? Jesus Christ. His name will set people off. Especially when you're not using it as a curse. Too many Catholics say the holy name of Jesus only as a curse. Too many lay Catholics speak the holy name only in that context, and it's the only way a non-Catholic or even a pagan hears it. And so what do they think of the Christ if they hear you just saying it when you hit your thumb with a hammer? Or when someone rear-ends you when you're driving? Giving witness to Christ is what a martyr does, and all Catholics are called to be martyrs, witnesses. That's what martyr means in Greek. And how do you witness to Christ? Predominantly by your life, by how you live out your Catholic life, in particular by how you live as a husband, a wife, a mother, a father. And how, when you are young, you live out your life as an avid student, as one who gives witness to the goodness of Christ to a world that is corrupted by evil. Now more than ever, we need Catholics not to deny Christ. We need Catholics to get over themselves and stop going into the world and trying to get people to like them and to know them and to accept them and to celebrate them and to thank them and to do all these things that are all about self. We need Catholics to give witness. We need lay Catholics to be willing to speak the holy name and to speak it well. The demons cower when they hear the holy name. In the presence of evil, you can cause hordes of demons to run. Demons that may be influencing people to do all the wrong things, they will run at the utterance of the holy name of Jesus. Too often, because of human respect, we deny Christ. We don't give witness to him. And because of that human respect, because Christ is always offensive to those who like sin, because Christ is always offensive to those who have redefined the church, aka liberal Catholics, who think the Mass is all about a celebration of community in themselves and not the perfect form of worship of God the Father through the sacrifice of God the Son, represented for us through the power of God the Holy Spirit. They don't want the holy name mentioned, because it makes one feel they're supposed to be doing a little bit more. So think of it. Jesus told the apostles, fear no one on this world. No, there's nothing they can do to you that is permanent. Even if they kill you, it's not permanent, because if you've lived for Christ, your soul will go to the judgment seat. And if you have given witness to him, if you've not denied him in the way you live your life, then he will say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share your master's joy. There's nothing to fear from the world unless we're too attached to it, unless we're too attached to human respect, unless we're too attached to ourselves. Pride is our greatest enemy, and it manifests itself in this human respect. It becomes necessary then for Jesus to be tough, even though your average boomer hates the concept. Jesus is not a pot-smoking hippie. He is not a desperate, needy individual who just wants us to look at him every once in a while and then he gushes. No, he is the king of the universe. He is the conqueror of sin and death. He is a man's man beyond comprehension. He is not soft and he is not emotional. He is perfect. He is the Christ. And therefore, knowing us, he first tells us through the apostles, fear no one. But just in case we do, and for the apostles, this meant the reality. Every single one of them but St. John was martyred, save Judas, who committed suicide. But they tried to martyr St. John, but God wouldn't permit it for his beloved disciple. But every single one of them faced martyrdom because they feared God more than man. We must obey God, St. Peter told the Sanhedrin, instead of obeying man. How often do we get caught up in wanting to be accepted and loved by the world? Remember what St. John says in his first letter, if the world loves you, then you are not of God. For the world loves its own. And those who are not of God are of the world. Long gone are the days when the Catholic Church was indeed transforming the world, because too many Catholics have moved to denying Christ for the sake of fitting into the world. And that denial doesn't mean you don't necessarily speak the holy name. That denial means that you don't give witness to Christ. You're always angry and mad, or you're always cursing, or you're always telling dirty jokes, or you're always just going along to get along, or you're tolerating sin. You have no difficulty with it. You won't speak up when you ought. You won't give witness to Christ by a life that points to Christ, because human respect prevents you from living a life that points to Christ. And even in the spiritual things, you may not do it. You may make the sign of the cross and say grace before meals, but when you're in a restaurant, you won't necessarily say grace at all, because it might be offensive to someone. Or if you do say grace, you won't make the sign of the cross because it might be offensive to someone. You deny Christ for the sake of being accepted by others, which means you're more afraid of the world than you are of God, which means that you are not of God, but you're of the world, which means then that you've denied Christ, and Christ will deny you before his heavenly Father. And that means everything, because Jesus said, all power on heaven and on earth has been given to me by my Father. And if Christ is, as we know, the means of reconciliation to God the Father, then when he denies us, then it is over. And it is only eternal damnation in Gehenna, that which he tried to warn us against, that is our ultimate destiny. Sins of omission can be as grave as sins of commission. And if we don't repent of the sins of omission as we are wont to repent the sins of commission, then we do indeed go to the judgment seat of Christ unrepentant. So again, I say, look at this past week. Be honest with yourself. How often did you live for Christ? How often did you live for yourself? How often did you give witness to Christ? Or how often did you deny Christ? The good news is you're still here today, which means God is giving you another chance for this coming week to do better, to give witness to him, and to truly be fearless in doing so. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.